Hello, yes. Hi, Jerome Silva. I just wanted to say how much I love counter programming and how much... how much I love Ariel and Shiran, what a great job they're doing, and I just wanted to thank them for the great podcast, and I look forward to many more episodes. Thank you.
Hi, Shira.
Hi, Ariel.
Hi, Counties. Happy Counter Programming Day. Welcome to the show. We're excited to have you back for another episode of Counter Programming with us, Shira and Ariel.
Each episode of our show is an exploration of a word, phrase, or other such topic that contains the word
counter. We've hit up countertops, Count Dracula, Count Von Count so far. Next up on today's episode, pedometers, aka
step counters.
Before we hit you with the count, a few things to check off our pod to-do list.
First, a pulse check. Ariel, how are things? What have you been up to?
Things are good over here. I recently, Thursday night, so just a few nights ago, held a Harry Potter trivia game. And I know you are very recently fond of Harry Potter, so you'll understand where I'm coming from here. I decided it's been too long of me not understanding the hype around Harry Potter. So I downloaded Audible free for 30 days, and I'm listening to all of the Harry Potter books, and I hope that I can get it done in 30 days. But I have a few questions about Harry Potter.
Okay, I probably won't be able to answer them, but hit me.
But I wonder if you're experiencing the same question. So basically, Neville in the first book, Neville falls off of the broom, right? And he breaks his wrist.
He's such a cutie.
So why wouldn't the teacher be able to just zap him better? I don't get it. I don't understand how their magic works.
This is my issue with fantasy consistently. Same with Dracula from last week, that like they just decide what is going to be the rules and what isn't going to be the rules. And for someone who does like more clear cut things, it's very confusing. Like, why can't they fix one thing, but they can fix another thing with magic? It's just bizarre. Like, why can't they make muggles not see them all the time, but then sometimes muggles see them? I don't know. It is a plot hole, I think, in all fantasy things. Nerd
alert! I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to get over that. And also, maybe it does get resolved, or maybe there's fan fiction theory about where magic applies and where it doesn't. But anyway, we should move on. Shira, how are you?
I know. People are going to start hating us if we speak ill of Harry. So we should be careful. I took a break from reading the Harry Potter books this week, and I read this book called Untamed that essentially changed my life and gave me this whole new vocabulary to talk about feelings, and I just want everyone I know to read it so that I can discuss it with them. So that was really exciting. And then my roommates got me an air fryer because my birthday's coming up.
Aww.
And today we used it for the first time and we made air fryer bagels.
Wow.
Yeah.
How did they come out?
Actually really good. It was like two ingredients. It was just Greek yogurt and flour and a little bit of baking soda because we didn't have the right kind of flour. And they came out so cute. You can see them on my Insta story.
Okay, I will definitely check them out.
Yeah, that's pretty much it to report on here.
Okay, well, very good.
Zeri Barzilai texted me. She's a loyal county.
Oh my God.
And she sent me her step count. But she also told me that there's a How I Built This episode about Fitbit.
Fuck.
So fortunately, we won't have that to...
We should mention that though.
Oh, yeah. We can use this when, little audio bit.
Oh, I forgot that we were recording.
We did miss it for our research. However, we can listen to it after to enhance our research.
Yes, and thank you, Zeri, for the information. We appreciate it very much.
And she also gave me her step count, which we'll get
what
to
is
that
it?
Later.
Okay, fine. Okay, all right. So, Shira, we just checked in. Next. So we have a few calls to action for our counties. We would love to hear your voice. Record a voice memo on your phone following this format, Shira.
Hi, my name is, insert your name here, recording from, insert where you're recording from, and you're listening to Counter Programming with Shira and Ariel.
We'd love to add your voice to the beginning of the episode, like we've been doing for the past few episodes. Today's weirdo voice clip is from our friend David, who does a bit where he pretends to be an older person named Jerome Silberman, except that today he forgot his own bit and he called himself Jerry. It happens.
You can send us those voice clips by email. honestly, at this point, you probably know our email, but just in case, it's counterprogrammingshiraariel@gmail.com.
And while you're at it, hit us up on Instagram. We post all sorts of fun polls, and we'd love to have your participation. We also post funny photos and promotions for upcoming episodes, and our DMs are wide open, so slide on in. We're at counterprogrammingpod.
Counties, you rock! You've been leaving us lovely reviews on Apple Podcasts. We're going to read some of them at the end of the show, so stick around. Okay, Ariel, let's jump into why we're actually here today. Step counters.
Step counters. We ended last week's episode with a challenge inspired by the topic of today's episode. How much can you walk throughout the week? We opened up our challenge to our counties, so get in touch with us if you have a number that rivals ours. There may be a prize involved. Shira, how did you do this week?
Well, this week I hit 56,626 steps. But when I look at my Apple Health app to see my step count, it basically just continuously tells me that I'm way lower than my average from last year
from the past few months.
So it's a little depressing. What about you, Ariel?
Oh, just so everybody knows the parameters, this was being tracked from May 2nd to May 9th. We record on usually Saturdays or Sundays, and the episodes come out on Wednesdays. So just let us know within a week how much you walked. I was at 97,431. So yes, I beat you there.
You win.
Zeri, though, the first county to submit her steps, she was pretty close to you. And
oh, no.
She had 96,623.
Oh, that is very so close.
Great job, Zeri.
And she lives in the city?
She's at her parents in Westchester.
Okay, that will do it.
Treadmill. She called me at 10:30 last Wednesday while she was walking on the treadmill listening to counter programming.
Wow. Wow, she really is a loyal county. I love that. Thank you, Zeri. Thank you, Zeri.
Thank you, Zeri.
Thank you, Zeri.
All right. So we'd love to hear from you what your steps were. Please get in touch with us. First, before we jump in, what is a pedometer, Shira?
A pedometer is a device, usually portable and electronic or electromechanical, that counts each step a person takes by detecting the motion of their hands or their hips. Now, distance traveled by walking or any other means can be measured directly by a GPS receiver.
Next, let's hit up some history, the history of pedometers or step counters. Shira, when do you think the first recorded thoughts or usages of pedometers took place?
So, originally, before I did research, I expected it to be a much more modern invention.
Me too.
But it actually dates as far back from what we were able to find to the 15th century, which I thought was pretty wild.
Me too.
I thought it was an invention that came around because people were just sitting and watching television all the time.
I thought it was a health thing for sure. And that's it.
So I was fascinated by the research. Are you ready for me to dive right in?
Dive.
Okay. There were a lot of different people who are believed to have created the pedometer, which is a confusing way to present it because they know all of these people did create it. Right. They being the body of research. So it's more just what you consider to actually have been the pedometer. So that's going to be our challenge to decide today. So first up, Leonardo da Vinci, I almost said DiCaprio, envisioned a mechanical pedometer that could be used for military purposes. And that was in the 15th century. I don't think he ever actually created it, but he sketched it.
I don't think he did, but I do think it was used. Somebody did take up his sketchings and create it to be in use in military applications. So I think what they did was, I don't know exactly how it was used, but I think soldiers would have pedometers on them to see how far they were traveling. It wasn't for exercise. It was more for where are they going? When are they going? When are they traveling?
That would be my understanding of it as well. Yeah. Okay, so next, then it said that John Fernel, I'm probably pronouncing his name wrong.
No, I was going to say that sounded good.
Oh, did I sound French? Because he's a French craftsman. He may have invented the first pedometer in 1525, and his invention was shaped like a watch with four different dials, but this was fascinating, people would attach it to their belt, and then they had a cord lever that they attached to their knee. And so it every time you moved your knee, I'm demonstrating, it's an audio podcast, not a visual. It would count the steps.
Yes. Okay. So that was John Fernel. Then who do we have next?
So then some kind of pedometer, like mechanical pedometer, was obtained from France and brought to the U.S. by our third president, Thomas Jefferson.
Well, that's because Thomas Jefferson was an ambassador to France. He had so many relations with France, so it makes sense that this would be an invention that was brought over.
And it's unclear if he modified the design because he never applied for patents on any of his other inventions either. So they're not totally sure if he invented this exactly, but the Thomish meter, as it was called, had these weighted metal balls inside a device that swung, and it was like hooked onto your belt and it tracked more of your hip motion.
Oh, wow.
I guess probably more similar to what we have now. Not all of what we have now, but some of what we have now.
Right. Because now, of course, we have some that do GPS, some that do vibration movements, and some that probably combine both. But that's interesting. So Thomas Jefferson, I think my question so far, and we can get to this after we get to the most modern one, is why so many different inventors were coming up with such a similar product, you know?
But I guess people didn't have the same kind of shared knowledge of the
right.
internet. So everyone was just creating it on their own. And they were also, this one, you're gonna like this next one. This one's all for you, Ari. They were creating it for different purposes.
That answers it, I think, is that it's clearly a product that people want, and therefore it was thought of in a lot of different aspects of society. Okay.
So this next one, speaking of different aspects of society, Robert Hooke, an English scientist, created a pedometer in the late 1600s that was used by map makers and surveyors.
Wow.
Thank you. I feel like you should explain why you would like that and why I knew you would like
that. Yes, I love maps. I collect them. I studied geography in college. Big collector of maps. Love Sporkle. Love to play games where you guess where things are on a map. I think this is a really cool one because it shows that, you know, I actually was recently listening to a podcast called 99% Invisible. It's about design, but it's also about other aspects of life and how design fits into them. So a recent episode was talking about the surveyors of the English countryside. And it would be really helpful to know how many steps were between this place and another place to, because then over time you could probably get an average of all the people who are going between those places and know how far something is from another point. So that's really interesting. Thank you, Shira.
I just wanted to make you happy with that one.
You did.
In 1777, Abraham Louis Perlet. From Switzerland created the first pedometer that was a wind watch. And so it didn't need, like, once you wound it up, it would last for a few days, it seems.
Whoa.
And that measured the steps and distance while you were walking, and was based on the same way that like a self-winding watch would work. But the first person to get a patent for a pedometer was John Harwood in 1924. He got the patent from the Swiss, and he exhibited the world's first self-winding watch pedometer at the 1926 trade fair.
Nice, in Basel.
In Basel.
Switzerland. Nice.
Yes.
Wow. I love a good patent. It really brings us to the official invention that we're talking about today.
I found all of this information about the different creations of the pedometers on a website called eachstepyoutake.com.
Oh, I love
that. Well, it's a website that basically gives you unbiased reviews of pedometers and activity trackers.
Every step you take. All right, then we move on up. We go about 25 years into the future, and then we find that in the 1950s, there were ankle pedometers in Western Germany.
They kind of looked to me.
In what way?
That it would be on your ankle.
Yes,
like
me too.
A way to track movement. It's a little like, I feel like that would be my first thought as opposed to putting it on my hip, I know now that you put it on your hip.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say it makes sense to you that it was from Western Germany. And I was like, why?
I understood what you thought. I was like, I don't even know how that sounds bad.
Oh, know Western German inventions.
They just love their ankles.
Yeah. So that one's cool. Then we move to the 1960s and we go to the USA. In the 1960s, there was a product called the Walk-O-Matic that was circular and silver. And I don't know how that one worked because it didn't have a strap or anything that you could attach it to, but it was circular. It kind of looked like what a watch looks like today and in the 1960s, because watches haven't changed that much. But I like the name for that the Walk-O-Matic. And then we have notes here, but I want to insert something. So in 2002, my friend Naomi Poder's brother's bar mitzvah, Daniel Poder, He at his bar mitzvah, there was a party and there was a dance contest and they gave away pedometers.
That's the best bar mitzvah giveaway I have literally ever heard.
I know. I worked so hard for it.
Did you win?
I won it. I had the pedometer. It was pink and blue. And I think it worked just by shaking it. You know, they couldn't really tell that you were walking, but I was enamored by it. I needed it.
What was your giveaway?
We gave away basketballs.
Oh, you're so sporty. I love that. We gave away fleece blankets and water bottles.
Oh, that's really nice.
It was camp themed.
But let me say, it wasn't the giveaway. Daniel Podera's giveaway was not pedometers for everybody. It was if you won the dance contest.
Oh, okay.
Which I did.
But did they have his name on it? Because that
no.
Oh.
No. It's not like Daniel was an advocate for pedometers. He's like, everybody must know that I love steps. That wasn't it.
But that's my
2002 memory of pedometers. Now let's move on. There are Fitbits, Garmin trackers, and then most smartwatches have sophisticated fitness trackers built in. I have one right here. You can't see it because this is an audio podcast, but I have a nice blue wristband and I use it mostly for knowing the time, but also a large part of my usage of the watch is to check how I'm doing that day in terms of steps and in terms of other fitness. So that brings us to...
I have a question first.
I was going to say that brings us to modern times. And now you have a question.
How do modern day sophisticated fitness trackers, what are they tracking? Are they tracking your heart rate to track fitness? Are they tracking vibrations? Do you know?
Yeah. No, I don't know. It's a good question. So for example, I'm looking at the fitness tracker right now and it does all of that. So for example, it does your calories. It does your exercise, and that's based on a heartbeat that goes above a certain number that you've predetermined. And it does your stand goal, which is for, it wants you to move for at least 1 minute for 12 hours of the day. And that's just to make sure that you're standing up. And then it also does your heart rate for the more sophisticated one. So I bought this watch in September of last year, September 2019. But Melissa, my roommate, bought her watch a few months later and hers does heartbeat. It also has like really cool other features within the watch that are not fitness related, but they are always innovating. I think, you know, we're always getting more and more data.
I bet some of it is also GPS.
Definitely.
Guesstimate of like if you go 1 mile's distance, then they know that that's like X amount of steps.
Also based on how tall you are, you put in all that data beforehand. So that's it can kind of guess your stride.
I should make sure that my health app has my correct height then in it. I'm going to check that after this. Maybe I actually did more steps.
You never know. All right, Shira, you texted me this week that you had uncovered something very important, and I'd love it if you'd introduce it to our counties.
Oh, yes. I can't take credit. So my mom called me and said, by the way,
shout out to your mom. She's a really avid county. She emailed us this week with more county suggestions. So thank you, Rob Susie.
She had heard a story about where the 10,000 step number comes from. And so I was able to do some research to back that up. But essentially, the reason we started using 10,000 steps a day as like the number that you wanted to hit.
Got to get my steps in.
Part of a marketing campaign to help sell pedometers. And it was a Japanese marketing campaign. The pedometer was called Monpo Ki. I might be mispronouncing that. It's a Japanese word that translates to 10,000 step meter. And this was a pedometer that was developed in 1964, kind of like leading up to the Olympics in Tokyo, I believe. But that's where the 10,000 steps come from, that it's just the translation of the name of the company that created it.
Wow. And obviously it was based on some sort of fitness recommendation, right?
So I don't know if it was based on it, but it does have roots in at least we've gone back and done research to support the 10,000 steps. So essentially now health experts have agreed that this is a healthy goal and they've conducted a few studies to prove that walking 10,000 steps per day can reduce your risk of disease and help you lead a healthy life.
Yeah.
But what I did find, and this is kind of concerning, obviously right now I fit into this demographic, according to the Walking Behavior Laboratory at the Pennington Biomedical Research Center in Louisiana, the average U.S. adult today walks only 5,900 steps per day.
Yikes. Woof. Woof. But also, woof.
I found the information about the story of the marketing campaign on AdAbility, a marketing communications website, because they're talking about what an amazing marketing campaign it was. And then I found some of the info about the Surgeon General's information on Fitbit's blog.
Thank you for citing your sources. And then I just want to bring this in. There's a study of an Amish community, and it found that both adults and children logged 14,000 to 18,000 steps per day. This is a community in Ontario, Canada, and it had the lowest rates of obesity in the country, I guess, of Canada. I thought about that and I was like, I looked at my steps for yesterday and my steps yesterday were 11,000 and I walked a lot. So I was trying to figure out how this might happen for Amish communities. And it is because they don't have cars. So they do need to walk to the things that they need to hit up. Wow. Consistently 14,000 to 18,000 steps per day.
That's amazing.
It just shows you that even if you're not the most athletically fit person, you're not running miles and miles every day, walking and just having a non-sedentary lifestyle can really keep you healthy.
Well, even last week, remember I was telling you that my roommate and I walked to Central Park, like it ended up being like 19,000 steps for 7.5 miles or so. That was a full day activity.
Yeah.
Like, we were pooped when we got home.
Well, we'll get to this in a few minutes because I did some research on the most steps that you can get in a day. And it can take, to get records in the most steps per day, you have to be walking for like 20 hours per day. But we'll get to that. So Shira, we could not do this show without talking about our first encounter with pedometers, with step counters. So tell me about how you first came across step counters.
I'll start with my first experience and then I'll start with our shared experience.
Ah, okay.
So one summer at Eisner, where I went to camp.
Oh, yes.
The theme of the summer, it was when Obama was, when Michelle Obama was doing,
otherwise known as Obama.
When Michelle Obama was doing her campaign about like health and fitness, and she had the song called Move Your Body with Beyonce. Incredible song if you haven't heard it.
I don't know that song.
Okay, so after we hang up, you'll listen to it. It's really incredible. The theme for our summer was about like being active and moving. This was when I was a counselor. It must have been 2013. I'm going to guess. And the theme was Eisner Moves. And so we all got shirts that said Eisner Moves and they gave us all pedometers to track our steps. But it was the same kind of pedometers from Daniel's bar mitzvah. And so you could shake them and then they all broke within a few days. But the whole concept of moving didn't go away just when the pedometers broke. So we would have like all of a sudden they would blast a song and everyone like knew the song. They'd blast it over the loudspeakers at camp and you'd like run to the like center of camp and do a flash mob. Like aww. I just remember there was one day where I was walking back from the staff parking lot, which was obviously pretty far, and we had our coffee and the song came on and my counselor friends and I started sprinting to get to the center of camp because God forbid we missed the flash mob. Like, I just remember, like, hyperventilating, being like, I'm going to miss it.
Doesn't that make you miss community? Just that, like, you needed to all be together to dance?
Oh, my God. It was incredible. I wish I remembered the song and dance, but it was so fun. We just did Zumba all summer,
basically. It was definitely Danza Kuduro, the best Zumba song ever.
Oh my God. I'll text them after this to see if anyone knows, but it was so fun.
Well, I love that. Well, Shira, now introduce us to our shared experience with Fitbits and step counters.
Well, when we lived in Jackson, Mississippi, we found that we weren't walking a lot. By the time I got there, you had been living there for a year. But for me, I got there, I just graduated college and I went to Michigan. So it was a big campus and you walked all the time. Like in college, you walk everywhere. I didn't have a car.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I get to Jackson. It's my first job. So I spend 90% of the day basically sitting at a desk and then I would drive home. And
you can't walk anywhere.
Yeah. You can't walk in Jackson. Like you can't walk to get anywhere in Jackson. And I would sit on my couch and I couldn't fall asleep at night because I wasn't moving enough. And you had a jawbone.
I had a jawbone.
Yes. Which was a like Fitbit type of fitness tracker.
I don't know if it was from the brand of Fitbit. I don't think so. I think the brand was Jawbone. Okay. Yeah. So I got introduced to it from Bethany. Shout out to Bethany, who is a countee, who still lives in Jackson now. I bought one of these, even though I was definitely skeptical at first, but then I became obsessed with it. And I think that's the interesting part.
You got me obsessed with it too.
Yeah, so it was a domino effect over there. Bethany obsessed, Ariel obsessed, Shira obsessed. It's a strange effect that the Fitbit slash Jawbone has. I think when you first get it, you're like, I must hit my 10,000 steps. I've got to do it. And then the novelty wears off and then you're like, 1,000 is enough for today.
Well, I just remember we used to walk around the office park, which was not a scenic view. It was right along the highway. What was it?
I-55.
And we would walk around to try to hit our step goal. And it was summer in Jackson, so it would be so hot. We would walk around our neighborhood at night too, since we lived right across the street. We were just obsessed with getting our step counts, and it helped me develop way more like active routines into my adult life, because I think it's really challenging. Yeah. When you get your first office job and you're just like, I guess I sit at this desk all day and I am one with this chair and this desk.
Yeah, this is my life now. My butt molds into the seat, truly.
I did have the best seat in that office, though.
You really did.
I did.
You could open whatever tabs you wanted to.
Yeah. Well, also I got natural sunlight.
Let's go to our next section. This is a section I'd like to call Overachievers. And so here's what happened. I went to a Fitbit community blog and I read this question. What is the most amount of steps anyone has walked in a single day? M. Miller 287 writes, I am curious about the most steps walked in a single day. I have 45,000 and it was tough getting that badge. Of course, Fitbit gives badges for when you reach a certain number of steps. 45,000 is insane. The most I've gotten per day is like 18,000 and that's like really with trying. Actually, I forgot to say this. This is very big. In February, before all of this happened, me and my friends walked the length of Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles, 15.8 miles. And I guess I could look back in my archives to see how many steps that was. And I will in a moment. But that was definitely a lot. So anyway, I have
that
experience
was
walking.
One of the coolest things you've ever done. I was following along on your Insta stories of that day. And I was like, I would fly to LA right now to participate in this.
I think I'm going to do another one, even during social distancing.
Oh, then I guess I can't come.
Can't come, but I'll eventually do one in the city. All right. But then, okay, so M. Miller 287 said that he had 45,000. Then we go to Pure Evil, who retorts, a conventional marathon, 26.2 miles, will get you roughly 52,000 steps. He says, not to diminish your accomplishment, because this is a ton of steps more than I've gotten in a day. But if you do the math, it's totally sobering. Very upsetting. Then, Shira, would you like to tell us what Crazy Shoot says?
Then, Crazy Shoot says, mine was 52K. And good thing I had an extra pedometer around because my Fitbit battery died on me halfway through, which means I never got my 50K badge. Arrgh. But hey, at least I got my 45K in another trip earlier.
Just how ridiculous are these overachievers?
I can't imagine running a marathon. Like, I actually had a thought in February before everything happened that I was like, maybe I'll run a marathon this year. I was going to run a half marathon because there's one that's always the weekend before my birthday. And then I went for like a 3-mile run and I was like, I'm not going to run a half marathon.
No, hell no. But what I will say is that some of the things that I didn't include, we're talking about ultra marathons. There are some people who just run 50 miles in a day and it's fine.
Actually, know someone who's an ultra marathoner and you do it on like these crazy courses and in crazy places. Yeah. She would sometimes run home from the office to New Jersey.
Oh my God.
It was wild.
That's awesome. I would love to be able to use my legs for transportation like that.
I know. She's badass. I ran to get ice cream yesterday.
Good job.
And then I walked back with the ice cream because I didn't want to shake it too much.
Yeah, of course. You know, that brings us to the end of our step counters. If something inspired you, if you feel like you want to go out and walk or do this challenge for another week, let us know. We'd love to do that with you. What's our ultimate takeaway from this?
That step counters can create really good habits, and that a lot of people thought of the concept of step counters in different ways to use them. And that brought us to our step counters that we have today. Is that a good synopsis?
Yeah, that's a great synopsis. I think I've actually been pretty inspired lately by my step counter. I got this watch, like I said, in September. At first, I was very into it, was walking a lot. And then for like 6 months, I stopped and I didn't do any exercise. And now all of a sudden, I'm back on it and I really enjoy hitting my goals. And if that gets me up and moving, great. It gets me up and moving. Even if it's these superficial things that I get on my phone, a little notification that says, you did it. That does it for me.
I love that. I mean, you know, I'm a huge fan of Peloton and the badges motivate me all the time. So
totally.
Whatever gets you active.
We need it. We as humans need this. Well, counties, we love it when you leave us reviews. It helps us to know what we're doing right and maybe what we're doing wrong. And it also helps potential listeners find us. We got an amazing review this week that we are so excited to share. It's from Yosarian, and it's called Helps Me Determine the Number of Elements in a Finite Set. Shira, would you like to read it?
From Kitchen Counters to Count Dracula, this is one podcast you can count on being released every Wednesday. I love a good pun. If I had to sum up this podcast in one phrase, it would be better than the Joe Rogan Experience. My methodology was simple. I simply added all the times I laughed during Joe Rogan's episode with Jordan Peterson and then tallied all the times I laughed during Counter Programming. If my counting calculations are correct, Counter Programming is 2 to 3 times as funny as JRE. I don't want to count my chickens before they hatch, but I 100% guarantee that you'll love this podcast.
Wow. That was great. Shira, can you guess who that's from? Do you know who Yosarian is?
No.
It's our friend Alvin at Buzzsprout.
Oh, Alvin.
Yeah, that brings us to the time of the show where we talk about how much we love Buzzsprout. So Shira, Buzzsprout is our podcast hosting site. It's where we put all of our episodes onto the internet so that they can then be distributed everywhere. If you counties or anybody listening are thinking of starting a podcast, Buzzsprout is a great way to start that podcast. We'll put a link in the show notes to Buzzsprout so that you can sign up. And if you sign up with that link to start your show, you get a $25 Amazon gift card. So that's fun.
Okay, counties, get in touch with us. Let us know what kind of counter-related topics you'd like for us to cover. And also, send us your step counts.
Shira, what should we cover next week? You know, we've got a lot to do. I was thinking somewhere down the line, we will definitely cover the census. We also will definitely cover counter-productivity because I know a lot of people are experiencing that during this time.
Definitely.
But I was thinking, I would love to know more about counterfeiting coins. How do you feel about that?
I am also curious about that. So, all right, I'm ready.
All right, counterfeiting coins. That's what we will be talking about next week. Make sure to tune in. Thank you all so much for listening to the show today and for step counting with us. As always, it has been a dang pleasure to be with you.
We have the explicit thing. You can curse if you want.
Oh, yeah. It's been a pleasure.
We'll be back next week with another counter-related story. Counter Programming is written and produced by us, Shira and Ariel.
Our show is hosted by Buzzsprout, which is the best podcast hosting site in the entire podcast universe. We're obsessed with it. Our show is mixed and designed by Daniel Turek. How freaking fun is he?
Oh my God, his sound effects have been incredible. Our logo designer is Kaio Slikta. How freaking cute is our logo? Aww. You can check him out on Instagram. That's Kaio Slikta. That's Kaio Slikta.
And the music that you are dancing to right now, the song is called Tennessee Hayride, and it's by Jason Shaw. Yeehaw!
We'll count on catching you back here next week. Bye, Ariel.
Bye, Shira.
Bye, counties.
Bye, counties. Bye.